upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The RealReal. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Let's go on an adventure. Bop, bop, shoo, bop, 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 yeah. Let's go on it together.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in on another episode of the Musical Chairs of Massachusetts, where we scour the hills that are only alive with music. And I am joined here by my co-host, Nikki Cross.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another episode. And we have another studio first today.
Boy, do we. Yes. We have had a lot of genres come through these doors, but nothing pops like this one.
I see what you did there. Yeah, if we're going to go that route, then technically it's two genres we have never had before. So this next artist, that we're bringing to you is, a pop/EDM artist, which EDM is one of my favorite genres. So I'm so happy to finally, you know, bring that into the studio today.
You know, it's funny that you said that because pop is my favorite. So, because I'm a Swiftie. So I think.
Hey, you're in the the life of a showgirl, orange. Ooh,
I am. I'm like a pumpkin. This is a pumpkin. Look at me, I'm a pumpkin.
You're a slithery snake.
I'm a slithery snake. I'm a slithery pumpkin.
Yay. No, but, yeah. You know, Taylor Swift just dropped her newest album, which when this we're recording would have been yesterday. She did her release. So Mr. Swiftie over here in his life of a showgirl, living your best era.
Shake it off. Shake it off. Yeah. I know she's got a lot going on for her. She's got an engagement and I don't know if she'll be married by this point, but
she's still doing better than the both of us combined.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's, but you know, who wants to be living in a mansion with a, you know, hooked up with a star football player and just living the dream?
Yeah. Not me.
Nope. Give me, you know, a Fenway Frank and a cold brewski and a couch and I'm in heaven.
I mean, I don't need a mansion. Give me a tiny home by myself, and I'm just happy like that.
Give me a cardboard box with marker-drawn windows, and I will be absolutely okay.
All right. That's in my budget. I can do that.
Yeah, I figure if I get enough boxes, I can start a couple Airbnbs and then, you know, finally make it out of the cardboard box.
And just pray it doesn't rain.
Yeah. You know, it's fun. Anyways, guys, not only is that fun, but what we have prepared for you today is also fun because, again, we have a studio first for a couple of different reasons. And, you know, it is just an absolute great time listening to our guest today. Wouldn't you agree?
I do agree. We had so much fun with her, and I'm glad that we're getting more female artists on the show now, too.
I have to admit, though, it's very intimidating for me.
You're a little outnumbered, eh?
I'm just like, you know, I go into these things and I'm like, I'm going to be just so smooth. It's just like that. I'm going to be so smooth. And everything is going to... I'm just going to mute this. Everything is going
to... That was so anti-smooth.
That was so anti-smooth. I'm just going to be so smooth, and everything's going to be great. And I'm just going to be like, hello. And then...
Hello, Miss Lady.
Hello, Miss Lady. And then I get into the interview, it's like, yeah, you're a girl. And I'm like, okay, listen, no, Chris, this is not how it goes.
And now you know how I feel when I get outnumbered by two Chrises in studio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's happened.
Multiple times.
Yeah, strangely enough. But again, guys, you are in for a treat, and... I'm going to let Nikki tell you why. Nikki, you want to go ahead and introduce our next guest?
Today we're joined by an artist who refuses to be boxed in. From fronting a progressive rock band that shared the stage with heavy hitters like Trapped, Saliva, Head PE, and Eyes Set to Kill, to reinventing herself as a solo pop and EDM powerhouse, Lexi Hanna has carved out a lane that's all her own. With an unmistakable airy tone and a raw emotional edge, her music floats, cuts, and sticks with you long after the last note. Based just outside of Boston and dropping fresh tracks that blur genre lines, she's here to talk about her journey, her sound, and what's next. This is Lexi Hanna.
We had to.
Yes.
Well, welcome to the studio, Lexi.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm really happy that you were able to come down. We had this on the calendar for a little while, mm-hmm. and but just absolutely looking forward to this.
Me too.
Yeah.
Came up quick.
It did, didn't it?
After I ambushed her at the brew bar. Yeah.
I'm glad you did.
Yes.
Thank you for that.
That was a while ago.
Yeah, it was like 6 months ago.
Wow.
It was literally just like... So Lexi, let's start from the beginning. Okay.
I was born and
it all started. So I read that you are originally from the Worcester area. Is that correct?
Well, if we're talking originally, actually am from North Carolina and I moved up here after high school. But yeah, I've been in Worcester for about 3 years now. I originally moved to Marion. I was there for 4 years. And then I moved to Framingham for a couple years. And yeah, now I'm in Worcester.
Wow. Okay. So I'm willing to bet that the barbecue food in Worcester doesn't quite compete with the food over in North Carolina.
No. No, none of the food, actually.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. That's cool. Okay.
Yeah.
And so for you, when did music start for you? Like, when did you become really interested in it?
It really became more of a focus when I was 10. That's when I really remember starting to, you know, write songs. And I grew up with a piano in the home that I grew up in. So ever since I was 7, I would play along with that and play around with it. But not until I was 10 did I start, you know, actually making songs with it. So, yeah.
Okay.
And that's when I tried to form my first girl band as well.
Oh, nice.
With my sister.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, so you started off on a piano, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
That's where it all began.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting, too, how many stories that we've had where the piano has been, like, the very first instrument.
I love it.
Oh, the pianos are awesome.
And they don't hurt your fingers.
That's the thing.
I tried playing guitar. I tried practicing with it. And I was like, what is this? I am not putting up with this.
Right.
So I just went back to piano.
Yeah. Yeah. Show me a piano player with calluses on his fingers.
Exactly.
There are none.
Doesn't exist.
No. That's so, you know, I've listened to a lot of your tracks that you have out there already, and they're just, you know, they take you on a wild ride. I love the emotion. I love the lyrical journey that you take your fans on. When did that whole, part of your music journey start? Like, did you start at a young age, like, you know, recording and producing your own music? Or did that come after later on in your life?
So recording and producing, I've never done. I have to give props to Chris Paquette for that. He produced all my pop stuff. And then North Sider is the EDM producer who helped me with the EDM stuff that I have out currently. So that is not something I ever want to do, actually. The technical side of music has never interested me. As far as recording goes, I can do a simple demo, but where I've always, you know, focused on my music is the lyrics, the melody, and the piano. And then I'll bring all of that to somebody else to make the magic happen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know, it's amazing when you do find a really talented producer. We have quite a few of them around the area, but everyone's all booked up because they're such a economy for the musicians to utilize. But a good producer will really, just make the whole music performance and level it up. So that's awesome.
And it's nice to have someone who understands, not even just like good producer, but someone who understands and like gets the sound you're going for, because I can't, especially in a place that's dominated by metal and rock, which is awesome, but there's not much space for pop music here unless you go maybe to Boston. There's a little bit more of a scene there. But to find someone who understands what I'm going for.
Sees your vision.
Sees my vision, yeah, and is able to just like understand, like I said earlier, understand the assignment and just kind of go with that is hard to find, but I'm glad I found a couple people who can help me with that.
Yeah. And did you start doing music on your own? And then like I read in your intro, you were also in bands. Like, did you do stuff on your own and then the bands discovered you and then you hopped on with them for a while, or?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I used to play open mics and that's where I would have my musical outlet, and Frantic Endeavor, that's where they found me. They found me at an open mic underneath my school where I used to go, and they approached me after my small 15-minute set and they're like, hey, we're looking for a vocalist. Here's our demo. Let us know what you think. So I went home, I practiced some songs that I paired their instrumentals with some of the lyrics that I had already written, and it worked perfectly. And so I messaged them. I was like, okay, yeah, I'd like to audition. And then from there, it just kind of took on a life of its own, and they liked what I had. And I was in that band for 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a really good experience. I learned a lot.
And so, like, you know, some of the artists that I mentioned in the intro too, like that you guys got to perform, was that all in the same band that you got to perform alongside them? Because those are some really big names.
Exactly. Yep. Frantic Endeavor actually made a pretty good name for itself in this area.
Yeah.
And that was shown in our final shows that we played a couple years ago. It was sold out. We sold out Soundcheck Studios in Pembroke, and we sold out Dusk in Rhode Island. Rest in peace. It's no longer a venue. But yeah, people really showed up for us and showed a lot of support. And because of that, we were able to get on some pretty big stages.
Yeah. Trapped, Saliva. Like, those are huge names. They've been around for a long time. That's incredible.
Yeah. It was an honor. It was a really cool experience, and I'm glad it happened.
Yeah.
I have to say, this is like my non-Metallica concert story. One of the concerts that I had went to was over at the Hampton Beach Casino with Trapped and Saliva and Seether. It was so much fun, and it was just before they did the they installed all the chairs and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So it was an open floor plan, and when Trapped came on, a mosh pit opened up. And it caught this two couple by surprise, because they were in the middle of a mosh pit, and they saw me, and they said, and the boyfriend went up to me, and he's like, hey, do you mind if we use you as a battering ram?
the human bulldozer.
Yeah, a bulldozer, because I need
the
to get
snowplow.
At least they asked politely.
They did. They were very polite. I said sure, and he's just like, and
snowplowed.
Just safe to say, I got him out of there.
So I saw Chevelle. I was at the MGM Music Hall about a month ago, and I was sitting up on the third level, and there isn't a bad seat in that entire venue. It's such a cool venue, but it's so small and intimate. And I'm watching these mosh pits happen like below me. I'm like, that's how I like to participate in mosh pits, just watching the aerial view of them. So yeah, no, I'm all set with that. But Trapped is still actually coming around. I saw they're doing acoustic sets now.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of artists are doing that, because a lot of people are liking that intimate feel. They want to feel like they know the artist. They like the smaller venues. Yeah. So it's making a comeback.
I think it's going, they're going to the Shaskeen in Manchester pretty soon. Yeah. So there's a smaller venue, like you said.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's absolutely amazing how many awesome venues we have around here. And, you know, like, I know you're in Worcester now. The Palladium is such a landmark down there. Not only the main, you know, stage arena there, but the upstairs small stage. I caught a show there with Young Other, and that was such an amazing, you know, show. So
let's also mention that Lexi has done a song with Young Other as well, or you were featured in one of their songs.
That's right.
Yeah.
Back in 2019, I think it was, back when I was still blonde.
Yes.
My alter ego. Good times.
Yeah, no, that's a fantastic song too. So definitely everyone give that song a listen as well. I'm terrible with names.
Name of Love Blind.
Love Blind, that's right. Yes. We were listening to it in the studio earlier. So
yeah,
friends of the show, Young Other, definitely give that a listen now.
Oh yeah, nice little throwback.
The best of both worlds coming into play now.
So our area is really great too with our musicians, our musical community. Have you, how has your experience been being a part of that musical community? Have you received a lot of support from local musicians in the area?
I have. The whole time that Frantic Endeavor was a band especially, people just showed up for us again and again and again, and they would always reach out for us to be on their shows, so we were always booked. So in that scene, I definitely did receive a lot of support, and the band itself received a lot of support. With my solo music, I'm still receiving support from people in, you know, like the metal scene, the rock scene, which is awesome. Even though it might not be music they listen to, they're still supporting me in it, which is cool. But I am also trying to reach a new audience as well, that, you know, meet new people that might make pop music, or, you know, people that might listen to pop music a little bit more. But yeah, nice. No bad experiences, thankfully.
So speaking of your music, do you have a song prepared for us?
I do.
All right. What are you going to perform for us?
This one is called Words I've Never Said.
All right.
Starting this off, don't know what to do. Put down my pen, a little confused. Just can't decide, I'm tangled inside. Another one of those nights, my thoughts have declined. My brain has resigned, I'm out of my mind. No, not a good sign, a line has been crossed. What will this cost? I'm over my head. Can I give up instead? I don't mean to be dark, but straight from the heart. Do you hear me? Hear me now. The taunting in my head, over and over and over again. The words I've never said, over and over. I'm here till the words are decayed. Not sure what to do. Doubt echoes throughout. It's bringing me down. Kinda screaming out loud. Maybe drawing a crowd. Do I come in clear now? Do you hear me? Hear me now. The taunting in my head, over and over. Will I ever be found?
thank you.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Thanks.
You know, I absolutely adore just the melody, the instrumental, you know, composition. It's just so dreamy.
Kudos to your producer. Like you said, they understood the assignment.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm so glad you used the word dreamy because I was literally creating a mood board when I brought him these songs. And I was like, okay, here's some adjectives that I want. I want dreamy. I want ethereal. I want, you know, all these things. So I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know, and I love this style of music because it's, you know, sometimes you just get feeling a mood.
This is actually a studio first for us. I don't think we've had a pop genre.
No, wow. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Couldn't have picked a better one for our first.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Let's see. Hold, please.
I actually have a question.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
Yeah. So can you kind of describe your songwriting process?
I can try. So I actually hate my process, but it is what it is because it's very rare that I'll actually be inspired to write anything. And it usually comes from heartbreak. I don't know how to write happy songs. Even the one happy-ish song I have still isn't 100% happy because it just feels cheesy if I do that. I don't know. So basically I will come up with an idea of what I want to write about and I will put down the words in a form of a poem. So it always starts as a poem. And then once I have the lyrics down is usually when I'll go to the piano and try to find what chords I want to use. And then once I find the chords, then I'll work with the melody. So that's usually the formula. Sometimes I'll have the chords first and then I'll try to find some lyrics to put in, but it's usually lyrics first.
I like that. Yeah. And it's so great too to like have the piano right there too to kind of tie everything together.
Yeah, it's so nice. I don't know what I would do without it. Honestly, it would be so much harder.
I know. I love having access to a piano all the time too. It's just
I can't relate.
Let me go ahead and ask. Now, for your music career, is this now a full-time thing or is it just a part-time thing? And if it's not a full-time thing, how do you find balance to, you know, do your regular day job versus your music?
Great question. So I work from home, which makes everything easier. I have so much more time because I don't have to worry about a commute. And then for my lunch break, I can do whatever I want while I'm home. So that definitely helps. As far as making music a career, it is not something I do full time. When I was in the band, we would play maybe a couple shows a month, but we didn't want to oversaturate anything. So we try to space it out. As of right now, I'm not currently playing any gigs. So as a career, it's not something I'm doing as a job, which is nice because I'm so scared of it becoming a chore. And then I'm afraid that'll suck the joy out of it that it brings me. So it's more of a passion, more of a hobby, I guess, but hobby is more of a lighter term. So it's more of a passion that I get to do, and I'm so glad I get to.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what's great about today's world, too, is that, like, you know, we have so many platforms that are out there that we can share our music and distribute our music to our fan base. How's your experience been with utilizing some of these streaming platforms?
So easy. I use DistroKid.
Okay.
And I used to use this one called Amuse. So if you're looking for one that's on the cheaper side but doesn't offer as many features, I would suggest Amuse. But yeah, it's so easy. You literally just, if you have the file, you have artwork, it can be anything. You put it in there, they upload it, and that's it.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
It's way too easy.
it really is. I know, but back in the day, you had to like go into a recording studio, get, you know, record some on some vinyl, and then, you know, bring that track around to the radio stations like, hey, would you play this?
Yeah.
And now you just, you know, upload it and let it go viral, you know?
Yeah, the level to entry is lower, but the chances of it being seen are also a lot lower.
Yeah, there's a lot more competition for
sure. Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, with that being said, though, you've done a pretty good job, I have to say, as far as getting exposure out there. Have you had a lot of people interact with you to let you know that how your music has influenced them?
Well, thank you. I'm always wondering if I'm doing a good enough job with that, because honestly, I stopped looking at the numbers a long time ago. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to put out the music because I want to. And yeah. If people resonate with it, cool. If not, whatever. But people in my circle have been very supportive of it. And I've even had a few people that I don't really know catch on to it as well. So that's been cool to see.
Yeah, I was really impressed with the numbers on the, especially on Spotify. You have some great, you know, exposure there on the on some of those songs. Rightfully so, because they're really good. I really got hooked on Wander. Like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Wander. It holds such a special place in my heart. It was the first EDM song that I was able to release with Northsider.
Yeah.
Fun fact, he's from Greece. He found me on YouTube because I used to post Monday covers.
Yeah.
And yeah, he just stumbled upon one of my videos and reached out. And so we decided to make that song together.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So what would you say some of your biggest musical influences are, you know, where you have the pop and you also have the EDM?
All over the place. But if we're going OG, Selena Gomez, Demi Lovato, mm-hmm. Miley Cyrus, Disney honestly got me. It introduced me to EDM, because if you look back at a lot of the 2010s Disney songs, it's pop, but it has EDM elements.
Right.
So that exposed me to it. And then
those higher BPMs.
Exactly. Some electronic elements as well. And then once you get into 2015, there's just a flood of mainstream EDM that hit the radios. And mm-hmm. that really introduced me to it as well. Like Clarity, for example.
Zed, I was about to say.
Yeah, Zed. So, yes. You know. So once I heard that, it literally changed my brain chemistry. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I didn't even know this was an option.
Yeah, that's...
Because before that, the first electronic music I had heard was Skrillex. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really...
Very, like very wubby, very... Yeah.
Yeah, dubstep is cool, but it just wasn't my vibe. So once I found, house music, I was like, okay.
Deadmau5 and Zed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So that's definitely an influence. But then as we get into, 18, 19 years old, I listen to a lot of Halsey.
Yep.
I listen to, I don't know if anybody's going to know Zella Day, but that's mm-hmm. another artist that I listen to a lot. So kind of all over the place, but those are some of the main ones.
I kind of almost get a Lana Del Rey vibe out of your voice too, with those lower notes.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because Lana Del Rey, I don't know why I forgot to mention her. Obsessed.
Yeah.
And a lot of why am I like this? And it's Why Am I Like This? And the other one I released, why am I forgetting the name of my song? But those two that I released were inspired by Lana Del Rey's Young and Beautiful.
Gotcha.
That I was
lower, velvety.
Yes. Like cinematic. I want the big drums. And so, yeah, big, big influence.
I love that. Do you have any moment or anything that sticks out a big milestone wise for you?
For me personally, it's hard to say. I mean, it was pretty cool. I've had Glamour. I had Glamour's YouTube channel reach out to me a couple times.
Oh, wow.
To feature me on their videos, where Ross Lynch reacted to a cover that I did of one of his songs, and then also Dove Cameron as well.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. That felt like a milestone moment for me personally.
Speaking of pop meets EDM, Dove Cameron and Rez did that song together. Exactly. I don't know if you heard that.
Yes. I love Dove Cameron. Yes.
Yeah. Another Disney also.
Disney. Exactly. Yep. So that was a pretty big moment for me. And then with the band, obviously I was able to play with a bunch of touring acts. So that was pretty cool as well.
That's awesome. It's always really cool just to be able to do what you love and then have recognition from other platforms and other artists and musicians. And it's like a really great confirmation that
it really is.
Yeah.
So now you originally started out by, performing live shows. Did you have a moment when you were doing your music out there live with these bands that was just like absolutely wacky or most memorable? Do you have any fun stories on that side of things?
As far as the shows go, no, they were all great. I can't really remember any that, I mean, sure, we had technical difficulties from time to time. We would always joke like, oh, it wouldn't be a frantic endeavor without something going wrong. So there was always something that going wrong, whether it be, you know, we forgot a piece of equipment or somebody was stuck in traffic or, you know, we had a bunch of little mishaps like that. But as far as the shows themselves, they were always great. But the one story that does stick out, and I don't know if I've already told this, I told this story on my podcast, but, a couple years ago we had an opportunity to go play down in Florida.
Okay.
During the Daytona Bike Week.
Yep.
And the person who reached out was someone that our violinist kind of knew. It was kind of in her bubble of people she had worked with before, so it seemed like a reputable person. It seemed legit. We did some research. We were like, okay, this seems real. We were going to play with, you know, a bigger band that has hundreds of thousands of people listening to them, so we were like, okay, this could be a really good exposure for us. And at that point we were getting pretty restless with, you know, wanting to play out more and wanting to go on tour. So we said, fuck it. Let's just do it. We rented a U-Haul. We took time off work. We got all our ducks in a row. We were practicing. Our drummer and our bassist could not go with us because they couldn't get work off.
Oh, yeah.
So literally in the span of like 4 or 5 days, we were able to find a fill-in drummer and a fill-in bassist. Jared Moore was actually our fill-in bassist. So we practiced for 5 days with the new lineup, and then we headed out for Florida.
Wow.
I left first because I wanted to get there as soon as possible to like settle into the Airbnb. So I'm almost there. And then we get a text from the rest of the band that something's going on. I don't know. Like the show was kind of up in the air, and then eventually ended up getting canceled, but I was already in Florida by that point, and we were promised money to go play. We were promised like $1,000 to go, you know, pay for our expenses. So we were able to get like $500 up front, and then we were waiting on the rest till after, but a bunch of things fell through. And basically the crazy story, the investor allegedly was on his way to the bank when he got shot in the back by his girlfriend.
Oh, no.
Allegedly. It was this crazy story. And the middleman that's texting us this, you know, this whole thing, he's like, I'm sorry, guys. I can't get your money. Like, I don't know what's going on with the venue. Like, the venue fell through. And so it turned into this whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah, we posted the story. Like, if you want the full story and the full details, we posted it to the Frantic Endeavor page and, like, screenshots just to, like, lay out the whole timeline of events, because it was a lot of moving parts. But that was probably the craziest thing that's ever happened.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
It's like a shot in the dark.
Yeah. Jeez. Definitely. So we ended up just turning it into a, you know, a vacation while we were down there. Like, well, that we're already here.
One in Florida, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So right now we are going to take a quick break to listen to an ad from our partner.
Oh, that's right. We are. You know, guys, just so that you are aware, we are now being advertised
We are advertising for
people. And that's how we earn money. So, guys, here's a message from our advertiser.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal, game changer. I earn more, and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal.
Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The RealReal. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
All right, guys, welcome back. And so, Lexi, let's go ahead and dig into another song.
Absolutely.
What song do you have for us next?
So this one is called Hear Me Out, and this is the next one to be released.
I speak, but you tune me out. Raise my voice, dare a shout. Even when you listen, you're no help. I just need someone to understand. Hold me tight, a helping hand. Won't pull away, return all my love. Hear me out, hear me out, hear me out, just hear me now. Are you listening? Toss your signs, bear my pain. Show my love, it's your gain. But even now, you take it for granted. Will you notice when I'm gone? Maybe then see you wrong. But as of now, you take me for granted. I try again and again to show my side. Again and again realize you're blind to all my thoughts, feelings, and mind. You know, I forgave you years and years and years ago. For not listening, for not caring, for not hearing me out, ignoring my pain. Hear me out, hear me out, hear me out, just hear me now. Hear me now. Are you listening?
Wow. That was powerful.
Yeah.
That's an emotional one for sure.
So I have to ask, how long did it take you to really find your voice? Was that something that just right off the bat was there, or have you had to work on that?
I think a little bit of both, because that song I wrote when I was 12. Wow. So that song has been around a while. The bones of it has been around. Like, I didn't change any of the melody. I haven't changed any of the lyrics since I was 12. So that has remained the same. But as far as inserting, you know, all the elements around it and building around it, that is newer, and I'm glad I waited till I was older because I've had more of a chance to, you know, recognize in other people's music exactly what I like and exactly what I could go for, and I could bring examples and references, and it's like, I want to sound like this. So a little bit of both.
Okay. Yeah, because I can definitely get bits and parts of like Lorena.
Lana Del Rey.
Yeah, exactly.
Even some Selena in that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you hear that emotion in her voice.
Yeah. True. Yeah. And I think I get the breathing from Demi. She's always like, yeah, songs. Yeah. So it's like, yeah.
Yeah. And it's such a great combination, you know, like it really does bring you through a journey.
Thank you.
And not only that, it's like you had time on your side. Like you said, you wrote that when you were 12.
Right.
And now this is one of the newer songs, you know, for you to release. So you've had life experiences and built up emotion and all this other stuff that goes into play too, that you can channel into that as well.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And the line where it's talking about, like, you know, I forgive you, I'm sorry, I get it now. When I wrote that when I was 12, I had not forgiven that person yet. So I've had the time. And now when I sing that line, it's like, actually, yeah,
there was growth.
You. Yeah, there was growth.
Yeah, definitely. Now, you know, you've been doing this for a long time. As far as writing music, you spoke about writing the song when you were 12 years old. Do you have any words of encouragement to young artists out there that are aspiring to be musicians?
Consistency is key. I know that is so cliche, but it is so true, because if I wasn't posting every Monday to YouTube, then I may not have ever been reached out to by Northsider. Glamour may not have ever reached out to me, but because I was consistent with that, and then also I did not start off good. Like, when I was 10, I sounded terrible. I have recordings to prove it. Like, I was not a good singer.
Wow.
But thankfully, everyone around me lied to me and was like, you're great. It's so good. And that kept me going. Aww. And it kept me going long enough to the point where, you know, I think I'm decent. I can, you know. So, yeah, just keep going. Don't give up. I know it's so cliche, but it's so true.
Yeah. And there's a lot of truth to the consistency, you know. We live in a day and age where people just want, are media hungry. They just want to see more and more. And so, you know, the other thing too is that we have to kind of, I think a lot of these aspiring musicians have to overcome is just the fear of putting it out there. Fear of putting themselves out there. And because, you know, sometimes we're our own worst critics.
And, absolutely.
You know, we hold back on sharing our talents out there. And you just never know.
Big time. Yeah. The way that I get over that is I remind myself, okay, am I going to care when I'm on my deathbed? Is anybody else going to care?
Yeah.
Does anybody even care now? Like, that's the thing. The fact that people don't care is actually where I get some of my confidence from. It's like, there's so many things that people can pay attention to. They're probably not paying attention to you. So just do it. Who cares?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's great advice. I mean, like, oh my gosh. We get so caught up on what others think about that we let it dictate our lives.
Well, like when you go on vacation somewhere, you know, at a resort or a cruise or whatever, it's like, that's the best time to sing karaoke. Think about it. I'm never going to see any of these people ever again.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Versus like if you're at a local open mic where it's harder, I feel like, to sing in front of people that you know. Yeah. Versus
definitely.
Strangers.
Because they have this expectation.
Right.
They know you. So if you do anything that's outside of what they know you to be, they might act weird. And I tell people this all the time. I would rather play in front of 5 million people that I don't know than 2 people that I do.
Right. Because I'll never see them ever again. So fuck it. Who cares?
Exactly.
Yeah. So when you were with the band, you know, and you were supporting these really big acts that obviously these big acts were touring all over the world, have you got to play at some really cool venues, and do you have a dream venue that you'd like to go to at some point?
So yeah, we got to play at a lot of cool venues around here. Some of them that no longer exist. Sadly, our first one was 3065 in Wareham, Dusk in Rhode Island, FET. We played the main stage several times. I love FET. Really good sound in there, and it's nice having a big stage because there were 6 of us, so the stages got crowded. We played at the Jungle, which is a cool spot. There's so many. I know Soundcheck Studios is a great spot too in Pembroke. I know I'm probably forgetting some, but as far as a dream venue goes, I actually had to think about this one because I was like, do I? I don't really think about that. It's like, if someone wants to have me play somewhere, I'll just be like, okay, I'll play there. But if we're talking big stages, I think Coachella would be insane. Like, if I ever played Coachella, that's how I would know I made it, because it's really hard to play Coachella.
Well, you bring me with you. We'll be besties for the weekend.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll sleep in your car. Like,
yes.
We'll have a little camp out.
Yes. I got the whole festival camping down. So.
Absolutely. So I think if we're dreaming big, probably that one.
I don't think anyone's ever said Coachella on it.
I don't
before.
Know. That's the first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it.
That's cool.
Oh, hell this yeah. is the, you know, the studio of dreams, as Seth Meaning calls it. Yes.
Yes.
So, yep.
There we go.
You got it, girl.
And so now let's not stop there. Let's say if you had the opportunity to collab with somebody, living or dead, and you can pick one of each or whatever, who would that be?
This is such a fun question. There's so many I could say, but if we're talking something that makes sense, something that's similar to my style and someone that I also just really look up to, I'm going to say Fletcher.
Oh. Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love Fletcher.
Especially the stuff she did with Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
So that's my final answer.
We're going to tag Fletcher in this. Yeah. Make this go viral.
Yeah.
Fletcher, if you're listening.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's awesome. Well, do you want to get another song?
Yeah. What do you got for us?
All right. So I have Please the Seas.
All right. And it's an interesting title. Can you kind of deep dive into it a little bit?
I can try. So this is another one I wrote when I was like 12.
Okay.
So some of the origin of how I came up with it, I have forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely know what inspired it and what I wrote it about, but I think I stuck with Please the Seas because it rhymes, first mm-hmm. of all. I'm
okay.
just huge into rhyming. And the seas being symbolic for something that is... like the waves can take you under, it can be scary, it's changing, the current can take you. So I wanted to stick with that symbolic. So I wanted to use like ocean or seas or water somehow and just Please the Seas stuck.
I like it.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into it.
Please the seas, just give them what they want. Toss the keys, you're not in control anymore. You're left to die. You're trapped in lies, cast to stones, you're being removed from your throne. Desperate skies, red sunlight, tossing waves in rapid currents. Please, seas, just give them what they want. It's you or me, you've planned who it's gonna be. My door, your ranking is now zero. So long, stranger, you've chosen me to please the seas, calm the currents, find the keys. The ideal person is no longer me. You've sacrificed your pedestal, turned it over to a fool. So please the seas, just let them roar. Take a breath overboard. Walk the plank, here I go. Please see, start the show. You had a choice and it was me. You lost the keys, forgot to breathe. You ate the fruit. Your eyes are open to the truth of twisted lies and deception. So this is it, I'll pay my dues. If only I could regain you.
Woo! Wow, that was... I did my own Wilson. That was
a heavy one.
Can I mean, 12-year-old you, could 12-year-old you ever fathom like this music going to this, these lyrics?
Yes.
That's incredible.
It's exactly what I've always wanted. And that's why I'm so happy with it.
That's amazing.
I just want to mention, I got like a little bit of an Evanescence vibe in the very beginning.
I did see, okay, Evanescence, Flyleaf, they have a small percentage of influence over me, absolutely.
Yeah,
Amy Lee, I used to always be compared to her. I used to do live streams where I would just like sing for strangers on the internet, and they always requested me to sing her songs.
It's like hauntingly beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we are going to take another quick break to hear an ad from a partner.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The RealReal. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
And that was another advertisement for Pfizer. No, I'm just kidding.
For Viagra.
Listen,
if the Little Blue Pill ever wanted to be a sponsor of the show, I would read that shit Ron Burgundy style for the right price.
Yes. Yes, we would. Because money talks. Yep. Guys, thank you for coming back. Lexi, I have to ask, you know, I've been stalking your social, and I was checking out your YouTube. And your music is I think would lend itself so well to like a fully produced music video. Is that something that you've given consideration to doing?
Absolutely. I would love to. Music videos are expensive. Which is why I have not gone through with that yet, but maybe in a year or two.
Okay.
Because I definitely have a concept of a plan, as some may say. I have ideas, so I would love to, but I also have to find someone who can also, again, understand the vision and, you know, bring it to life in a way that I'm picturing in my head. So we'll see.
So kids, what we're going to do is we're going to start a GoFundMe for our friend here, Lexi, so that we can get a music video going.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. All right. So now... I know you've done so much already in your music career, but do you have any plans for the next 5 years or any, you know, plans for out there in the future to do some new stuff, some more, expand on your music at all? Or
I definitely want to make more music because when I'm in the studio, I am my happiest. It's so fun. I feel myself and the creative process of it all. I'm actually having trouble enjoying performing because I have so much fun creating it all. And I'm like, am I just a recording artist? I don't know. So I definitely have plans to make more music and go back to the studio. As far as a 5-year plan, no. But the thing is, I have overthought everything for so long, for too long.
Yeah.
And I'm finally at a place where I'm just going to say, fuck it, I'm just going to do it. And see what happens. I'm not going to overthink. I'm not going to overanalyze because what I was doing is I was censoring myself. I was filtering things out and I would, you know, I would look at it. We're our own worst critics, right? So I would look at something and I'd listen to it. I'd be like, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. It's never going to be good enough. Yep. So I'm just at the point where I'm just going to put it out see what happens. If nothing happens, whatever. I'm still happy that I'm able to put it out and share, because I have to make room for more. And then before I can make room for more creativity within myself, I have to get the old stuff out.
Yeah. No, I love that. Yeah. It's a good way to be. Sometimes we can just, like you said, just be our own worst critics. It's not your answer is not the first time that I've heard that, where people are like, well, you know, I don't want to really hash out my path in this 5-year, you know, box. Like, it's gonna go where it goes.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I love that.
Yeah. So you lived in North Carolina, you know, at least a good half of your life. What do you enjoy most about the local music scene here in Massachusetts?
That it's not a church.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, you're out of the Bible Belt.
Yes, yeah. Because that was my only musical outlet down south. And to each their own, whatever, but not for me. So I grew up in, you know, the choir, or I was on the worship team, and that was how I was able to express myself. I'm sure there were other opportunities, but from where I stood, there wasn't. So it's
a little restricting.
Nice. Yeah, it was very limiting. So it's just nice having options.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know. That's what I love about this area. Like, again, it's just, I don't think that many people know outside of New England just how musically talented. Not to, you know, brag, but we're going to, you know, pat yourself on the back. Like it really is. It's amazing.
A lot of talent comes from here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everybody is so quick to, you think music, you think Nashville, you think Austin, you know, even LA. And I don't think this little corner of the Northeast really gets, you know, the recognition that it deserves.
Exactly. Until you are on the level of, you know, someone in Hollywood who maybe grew up in Boston, and then you finally make the connection, like, oh yeah, but
Mark,
if you make
Wahlberg,
that connection,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. There are so many people who grew up here who are now making it big, very successful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's what we're trying to do here with our platform is, you know, launch a musician's career.
That's the goal.
That's a goal. Yeah. We've sent a couple of musicians already out to the international waters. And
wow.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. So
this podcast has reached 24 different countries in the year and a half that it's been out in existence.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And like I said, it just really goes to show how, you know, people are starved for music and just for this entertainment industry. You know, I kind of feel too that, like, now that our TVs have really switched its dynamics, now we're like just streaming stuff, we're not, you know, flipping through channels anymore, that we really don't get to see any music content much out there anymore.
Well, yeah, like MTV and VH1 were so short-lived, or even like CMT. I remember, like, growing up in the morning, we'd have the bus and like the country music videos and stuff, and I feel like, yeah, very, very short-lived. I mean, growing up in the 90s, you know, like, I remember that all throughout the 90s. But then once you get through, like, halfway through the 2000s, it trickled off. So really, if you think about music, television in general maybe got its 15 years of fame, if that, and now you don't see that at all anymore.
No.
That's so true. It's all on YouTube and TikTok now.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I get 90% of my education from TikTok.
Likewise. I think I've learned more from TikTok in the last 4 years than I ever did in college.
Oh, isn't it great?
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
I can't relate. I just created a TikTok account maybe 6 months ago, and I think I have 4 random, very shit quality videos on there. So
I literally went to the pharmacy to pick up a prescription, and I had something else. I had a vitamin. And they asked me, do you have any questions for the pharmacist? And I'm actually like, well, yeah, you know, I don't on my medication, but I do on this vitamin. Does this do that? And she's like, well, yeah, I think. I said, and I only asked because I get 90% of my medical advice from TikTok. And I heard it on TikTok. And they all started laughing at me. And I'm like, hey, TikTok.
Come on. At least you're check facting.
Yeah, right?
Fact checking.
Fact checking.
I just had a stroke.
Oh, let me check TikTok. Okay, hold on. No, you're fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll even at this point, it's like, okay, I'd rather choose TikTok over WebMD. WebMD is just going to make you think you're dying all the time, yeah. You know?
Every time.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know what else is crazy too about the, you know, just to say how talented this area is even when we first started doing this, this podcast, we're like, maybe we'll get 20 episodes in. We're surpassed 50 now. And yeah, we still have it run out of people.
Mm-hmm.
Quality, you know.
Endless.
Yeah, quality artists. Like, the sky is still the limit for us. So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, this is going to keep going until we run out of people we can feature, which I don't see that happening, mm-hmm. you know, anytime soon.
And I love the diversity, right?
Mm.
We haven't zeroed in on a specific genre. We've just exposed all the genres that we have available out here. And even pop. You know, pop is such an important, iconic genre.
Super iconic. I mean, go back to, like I said, back when music was actually on television in the 90s. You basically had rock or pop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 So, yeah, it's definitely an area, you know, we need to explore more for sure. And I'm sure there's a lot more of it out there, especially in our area. It just needs to be brought out
to
light.
Exactly.
Yeah.
As you have been really, you know, putting your pop music out there, have you noticed have you noticed like a real desire for pop out there from people in our area? Have you seen a lot of interest?
No.
Really?
Which is unfortunate.
Okay.
And maybe it's just where I am. Worcester is very punk, which I love punk.
Yeah.
And then you go to Rhode Island, it's very metal. If you go to Boston, you will get a little bit more pop, but it's also pop is such a broad term.
Right.
And the type of pop that I'm interested in isn't the type of pop that the scene is being curated for, which is fine. I'm sure I could, you know, join, but maybe I'm just in the wrong area, or maybe I just still haven't found my people yet, which is fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, no, not a whole lot of interest.
You know, you bring up a good point. Like pop is in a lot of ways very commercialized.
Very. It can be. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially in our area. And I feel too, Worcester, you know, like the Palladium, they have a very specific genre focus out there, you know, with the heavy metal, the rock.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually shocked to see Breakaway EDM Festival go to the Palladium.
Me too. But you know what? I went to an EDM show at the Palladium, and maybe they're not all the same, but it wasn't really EDM culture. That's the thing. So you can play EDM music, but if the culture isn't there, I don't want it, because mm-hmm. Plur is so important, and I feel like Plur is a lost art.
Well,
it's becoming a lost art.
It is. Well, for the folks that don't know Plur, peace, love, unity, and respect is what that equates to. But yeah, I never saw the Palladium. And I mean, the first EDM show that I saw the Palladium was Grizz. And that poor sound system could not keep up.
It tried its best.
It did try its best. But like you said, it's more of a rock venue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is cool for what it is. It's definitely, I mean, Frantic Endeavor played there. Yeah. It was one of our last shows before we disbanded. So, and that was like a milestone moment. We had been wanting to play there for so long. So
the fact that, like you said, I got to play the Palladium, like there are guests mm-hmm. that come on the show, and that's when we ask, what's your dream venue? That's what they're saying. So the fact that you got to say, I played somebody's dream venue, like how mm-hmm. freaking cool is that?
So cool.
Yeah.
You know what would be a really cool place for an EDM show? The Jewel.
I have seen EDM at the Jewel.
Have you?
I've been to a couple of shows.
Yeah.
EDM shows there. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like when the stage is built out of subwoofers and then they have the right type of lights.
Yeah.
You know.
So true.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was actually, and it's a pretty big space too. Like there was, they filled it pretty well, but yeah, the sound quality at the Jewel was good for that. That's up in Manchester. I've mm-hmm. seen a couple EDM shows there.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I don't know if people really have, at least in our area, have really experienced EDM shows to like, okay. So on TikTok, I'm scrolling through and you see the EDM shows with these, with the lasers and the big screens, right?
It's incredible. Mount Snow. This is going back probably 7 years now. Mount Snow did Minus Zero Fest, and it was at Stratton a couple of years before that I was able to go to, and it's ski resorts. And this was back in like April, where I don't know, for whatever reason, winter came late that year. So they thought that it was going to be like the end of ski season. So there's like families skiing by as people are in like, I'm in like a dinosaur onesie, you know, but like, let me tell you, the lasers, when it's snowing, it literally looks like diamonds in the sky. It is so beautiful.
That sounds magical.
It was magical. Like, I got to see a sunrise tipper set. Yeah, on top of the mountain. Like, we had to ride the chairlift up for that. It was amazing. Wow. And I feel like I could geek out over EDM all day.
There's so many festivals. My sister goes to them all.
Yeah, I've traveled all over the country for them. Like, New Orleans Voodoo Fest. I've been to Moonrise in Baltimore. Like, I've... Philadelphia for hijinks and all that. And
I'm coming to the next one with you then. It's final.
Yes.
Yeah.
But just like we just mentioned, pop doesn't really get the recognition that it deserves. EDM also, feel like everyone's like, that sounds like robot beep boop, you know, boots and cats noise.
Well, here's my hot take. I think EDM does a better job up here than pop because EDM can go hard. There's a lot of EDM that crosses over into a metal sound because you can literally be in there like head banging, like it goes really hard.
But in the same respect, there's a little something for everything. Like, you have Grizz with the funk aspect where he actually incorporates real instruments. He's got a saxophone.
Yeah.
And it is more, just funky, dancey. Like, you don't get that.
So good.
That, you know, more electronic noise sound to it. So I feel like it's got a little something for everyone. You just have to be open-minded to really explore what genre. Because you also have the melodic EDM too. You know, like Cascade, you know, like that. Yep. Which
the subgenres,
yeah,
and that's what people don't realize. I've talked to several people, and they're like, "Oh, EDM, no," because what they're thinking of is they're thinking of dubstep or techno.
Yes.
And I'm like, "But there's so much more." And I'll play something, and they're like, "This is EDM?"
Yeah,
they're like, "I love this," and they're like, "There's more." And I think pop kind of people get pop is very stereotyped, and you know, there's stereotypes for everything. But I feel like when some people think of pop, they're like, oh, Taylor Swift, like
Britney Spears.
I love Britney, but there's so much more to it. And there's so many small artists. Most of the music I listen to are smaller artists.
Yeah.
But still, they have like 500,000 people that listen to them.
Like
but
Fletcher, for instance.
She's pretty, she's pretty big.
She's,
So there's just so much more to it than people give it credit for. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, it's just all about actually being open-minded, giving it a solid listen and seeing really what subgenre, you know, tickles your brain.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're going to take another quick break to hear another ad from a partner.
Tired of juggling sales tools or spending hours on prospecting just to book a few meetings? Meet Apollo, the go-to-market platform for finding leads, connecting with buyers, and closing deals all in one place. Apollo gives you access to over 210 million contacts and AI that handles all your busy work, finding leads, drafting emails, and even prioritizing your day. So stop paying for 5 different sales tools when one does it all. Visit apollo.io and sign up free today.
Thanks for giving that a listen as we try to make an earnest living here and self-support ourselves. Lexi, do you have another song for us?
I do. I have one more. This one is called Perfect for Now, and it's my attempt at a love song.
Right.
How do I write this without sounding too cliche? When I look in your eyes, feel good in every way. Can't help romanticize all of the things you do and say. Trying not to overthink, 'cause what we have is so insane. Can't believe it's happening. Everything comes naturally when you're sitting next to me. The world is calm, it's easy to breathe. Even if that's not forever, it's perfect for now. Live in the moment and enjoy it, 'cause nothing's forever but this.
this is so perfect for now. I know I can say this without pushing you away. I know it's alright with you. I know I'm safe. I'm free if ill, but worries are drifting away. Trying not to overthink, 'cause what we have is so insane. Can't believe it's happening. Everything comes naturally when you're sitting next to me. The world has come, it's easy to breathe. Even if it's not forever, it's perfect for now. Even if we're not together a few months from now. Even if it's not forever, it's perfect for now. Live in the moment and enjoy it, 'cause nothing's forever, but this is so perfect for now. Right now, nothing's forever, but this is so perfect for now. Right now, nothing's forever, but this is so perfect for now.
That is the perfect mix of Lana Del Rey and Selena Gomez.
Amazing. Thank yes. you.
Yes. Like the beginning part, you know, when you did the romanticize, like that is such a flowy Lana, you know, but then that chorus, I got just that emotion of Selena. Up. Yeah.
Fantastic.
I love it.
Yay.
I'm telling you, we're going to get a whole concert put together.
Okay.
We're going to do a pop fest.
I want to do a We Are the World with every musician we've had.
Yes. That would be amazing.
With our pantyhose pop filters, you know?
Yeah.
Get everybody on and yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, seriously, I think this is a great opportunity to get the pop genre that you are conveying through your music exposed out there to everybody and know that, hey, there's more than just, you know, a little bit of Britney Spears or Taylor Swift out there. There's all kinds. And I absolutely adore your music that you're putting out there.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, definitely. Couldn't have picked a better first.
Yeah.
Your pop artist. Yes.
Seriously.
This has been a lot of fun.
So where can the people find all of your music and you and what you have coming out?
So my music is on all your favorite platforms under Lexi Hanna, L-E-X-I-E, Hanna with an H at the end. You can also find me on Instagram at Hey, it's Lexi. And then if you want to shoot me an email for anything, it's contactlexitoday@gmail.com. So I don't have any upcoming gigs or anything, but I did just release a podcast. So if you guys want to give that a listen, it's Talk Girly to Me, where me and my friend, we just talk about all things girly and, you know, being a woman in the modern America.
You know, I really need to watch that because like it's hard being a woman.
It's really hard being a woman.
It really is.
You would know, Chris.
I would know. I mean, do you think these eyelashes just make themselves? No, but in all seriousness, we'll make sure that you share that link because we'll share on this episode so people can find your podcast.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thank you again for tuning in on another episode of the Musical Chairs of Massachusetts. Make sure that you are out there. You know, you're following us and subscribe to us. I've been noticing quite a few new followers on our Facebook page.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for that. And because the larger audience that we have, the larger audience our guests and musical guests have. So we're just really appreciative of that. And Nikki, can you let them know where to find us?
Yeah, we are in all the places as well. We are on all the major streaming platforms, wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora. We are also on YouTube. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok as well.
Nice. So with that being said, thank you, Lexi, for coming down and doing this. We really appreciate you. And, you know, we are excited to see where your musical career goes next. And, guys, I think that's been another wrap. So with that being said, bye.
Bye. The Musical Chairs of Massachusetts has been handcrafted for your listening pleasure. Hosted by Chris Guerra.
co-hosted and produced by Nikki Cross. Audio engineering and talent booking by Nikki. Audio, video engineering and graphic designs by Chris. Theme song written and recorded by Route 2 Revolution. This has been a CG Broadcasting production.
Tired of juggling sales tools or spending hours on prospecting just to book a few meetings? Meet Apollo, the go-to-market platform for finding leads, connecting with buyers, and closing deals all in one place. Apollo gives you access to over 210 million contacts and AI that handles all your busy work, finding leads, drafting emails, and even prioritizing your day. So stop paying for five different sales tools when one does it all. Visit apollo.io and sign up free today.